here in Carrboro, North Carolina, Community Radio.
Sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Impossible to face when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be
time here. Glad you're joining us. Can you hear me?
Welcome, everyone. This is Camille joining you, and I've got on the air with me this morning Jeff Stevens. You are listening to WCOM FMLP, coming live to you from the Drakeford Library Complex. We're here in Carrboro. It is not sunny. There's sun up there somewhere, but it's hidden by the clouds. I'm so flippin' excited. Today, the handover from the recorded show to the live went a little bit easier. So As always, friends, if you're listening, and I say friends because they're the only ones who have my number, text me and let me know if you can hear all right. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Camille?
Doing well. Ooh, I can hear you. Okay. We've got our headphones on, folks, and we're just going to go with it. Let's see. Some other things that I want to make sure I share with you all. I'll bring them up a little bit later in the show. For those of you who may be new to Camille Gets Fed, it's exactly as it sounds. People feed me food, and then they feed me with their company, with their presence, just with their spirit. And Jeff was really good enough to invite me over. Jeff, how do we know each other?
Well, we've got to know each other through the fire department, and you know, through that interaction, I feel like we've definitely become friends. You know, you and Allegra, your daughter. But, you know, that friendship still carries on. But you had just been elected to council, and you were curious about the different departments and divisions within the town. And that's how we came to know each other and have pretty much been friends ever since.
Yeah, exactly. And I just realized there may have been music playing in the background. I apologize for that, folks. I always forget to touch all of the buttons here. Anyway, I have really enjoyed getting to know you. Jeff is not only... What's your rank?
Captain. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Captain with the Chapel Hill Fire Department. He also serves as the department's historian, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And there are some really cool images to see, some photographs, especially in Station 2, mm-hmm. your base. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know where Station 2 is, where is that?
That's 1003 Hamilton. It's over across from Glen Lennox beside the Aloft.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't know about you all, but I don't know addresses. But I do know the Aloft Hotel. down 54, right?
Yep.
There on mm-hmm. 54. So if we were to go farther down 54 to Meadowmont, mm-hmm. what is housed over there?
It's called the Fireplace, and UNC is good enough to, I'm not sure how long the lease is, but they allow us to use an area at one of their medical facilities there. And we have all kinds of historical kind of artifacts and whatnot. We actually still have a 1914 Model T fire truck there. And that we actually had it in the parade a few years back. We put it on a trailer. We didn't actually run it. But that's still there as well. And then in the fall during fire prevention month and season, we do a puppet show with kids in the area. So, yeah, that's just as you're going to Harris Teeter there in Meadowmont. Yeah.
Yeah. 1914 Model T, Ford Model T. It is beautiful, you all. So I say treat yourselves. If you have a little one, if you can tag along with a little one, and stay tuned for when those puppet shows are happening in the fall. I have not been to one, but I hope to crash one soon. Mm-hmm. And yes, the Model T is not running, but it was.
Well,
it
is operable. We didn't run it in the parade. Unfortunately, the mechanic that helped myself and Chip Aiken, he's a good friend of mine in the department. Billy Terry was the mechanic, and he helped us and got it running. It hadn't run in over 25 years, and we ran it a few times. But when we put it in the parade, we just didn't want to risk any issue, so we put it on a trailer, and that's been, God, time goes by so fast, at least 3 or 4 years, maybe even before COVID, it does still run, we just haven't run it for a while.
Got it.
But yeah, it's in very good shape.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet Billy
yeah.
at one of the lunches.
Great guy. He passed this past December.
You shared that.
Yeah, I know, it was sad to say the least. He's a really good man.
Very good. And a lot of pride he had mm-hmm. for what he was able to do for the department.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us who are out in the public see the firefighters out, mm-hmm. but we forget that there are other people who are helping them,
mm-hmm.
helping you,
mm-hmm.
to get to and fro.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
whether it's sharing the information with you where you need to go or helping those vehicles.
Absolutely. The communication center, and then we work hand in hand with police as well. It's definitely a lot of, you know, like you said, working back and forth with a lot of different agencies and the support staff at Public Works. Billy was a little bit of a oddity. He came in as a firefighter, but he was so talented as a mechanic. As his career evolved, he basically became the mechanic for the department. But he came in as a firefighter.
Okay.
And when he retired, I think they basically did away with that role. It's almost like they personalized it for him because that was his knack.
Right.
You know, that's what he did on his part-time work and everything. And they said, okay, we're just going to basically create this position for you. And that's what he did. He kept the trucks running for all those years in the 70s and 80s. And I think he retired in the late 80s. I'd have to go back and check. But, yeah, all through those years, yeah.
Okay. I love that the town still hosts lunches each year for the retirees and those who are currently serving as firefighters, that everybody can get together. And I was very fortunate to be able, you know, to be invited. I think Adam Searing may have joined one of those times. I've been a couple of times to those. So you invited me over to dinner because, folks, as I said, Camille Gets Fed is all about someone feeding me a meal. And Jeff was one of the first people who said, okay, I'll do it. And I was like, yes, awesome. And you gave me the address and said, head on up. How long was that drive?
Depending on where you come from, this general area, at least 75 miles. So I still live in Virginia, which is not too far across the state line, but it's a little bit of a trek, and we're in the country, too. So I'm sure your GPS started faltering a little bit, but it's out there.
So I think because it stores up after a
while, okay.
It was good.
Yeah.
But it was a trek.
Mm-hmm.
It was so worth it.
Good.
It was so worth it.
Good. We had a great time.
We did, too. So, as Jeff said, he has met my daughter, Allegra. When I did my ride-along, Allegra came with me. Allegra, I don't know if she ever told you this or if I shared, had once envisioned herself becoming a firefighter. So when I scheduled the time to do the ride-along, which you did not have to be an elected official, and let me tell you all, I learned that. We were on the truck. We had our headphones on, our headphones on, like we do in the studio right now. And I said, Allegra, aren't you glad your mom invited you along, you know, and your mother's council? And then this deep voice came over. Councilmember Barry, you do not have to be a council member in order to schedule a ride-along. Dang it.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool that you don't, that it is available to the public.
It is. Most departments do that. You basically fill out a form stating your interest, and they coordinate with the shifts that are working the day that you want to try to do it. And it's normally during business hours or for the first 12 hours of the shift. And I think it's a very good opportunity for someone to get an idea of what it is before they would commit and say, I'm going to go try to get my certifications. And then you get on the truck and you realize it might not be for you because it's a coin flip. It might be a boring day as far as it's not a lot of calls. And then you might see something that's pretty significant and learn something about yourself that it might not be a fit for you, or just the lack of sleep. I mean, it's just there's a lot of different things that you can get a feel for just being there doing the job. So I think it's good that we do it. And obviously when there's a call, you can't get off the truck and start going in a burning building or anything like that. But you can be in the truck and get an idea of what a day-to-day is going to be like for a firefighter.
Right, right. I remember we were headed, you weren't on the, I was with a crew from Station 3. And what we were doing was visiting the different stations, all five stations. And we were about to go get something to eat. And all of a sudden we got a call. And they're like, nope, we're not eating. And so we had to go to that call. There were a couple of calls that we responded to, one of which got canceled before we got there. But we had to go, and then we got the cancellation. And that was very eye-opening. Nothing too dramatic while we were on, but it was very eye-opening of how you have to be ready at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And why is it? No, I don't want to go there. Actually, I want to go back to the meal.
Okay.
This is what this is about.
Okay.
And so Jeff and I've gotten to know him as a firefighter, but I've also gotten to know Jeff as a person. And when Jeff said yes to my invitation to invite me over for a meal, I was ecstatic. And he opened his home up to me and to my daughter, Allegra, who he's known about the same amount of time, and invited us to get there early, 4 o'clock, so we could take a tour of the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fabulous. So the farm, we went to see the cage, batting cage. And tell us why you have a batting cage there.
Yeah, before I didn't get in the fire service till I was almost 30 years old. So I grew up on the farm there, and my dad also started his own business and owned a sawmill. So I grew up around the farm and sawmill. He has since sold the sawmill and back strictly on the farm, but we were a big baseball family, and me and my brother both were very fortunate that we got a chance to play professionally in the minor leagues. We didn't make it to the majors, but we played in the minors for years. For anyone out there that's seen the movie Bull Durham, we both were catchers, and towards the end of our career, we kind of would get ribbed at a little bit because we were kind of like the Crash Davis character that Kevin Costner played. We were the older veteran player that knew how to play, but we weren't the big prospect necessarily. So played for 7 years in the minor leagues. I went to college at the University of Pittsburgh. I actually went to Lewisburg before the University of Pittsburgh, outside of Raleigh. Played at the University of Pittsburgh in the minors for parts of 7-8 seasons, and then I got into the fire service. So that explains the batting cage. That's my part-time job. I work as a firefighter, but there's 3 shifts, and we technically work a third of the year because it's ABC shift. And then my part-time business with my brother is we do lessons and coach kids for baseball on top of, you know, helping out on the farm with my dad.
For those of you who may not know, the Berry family is a big baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting to see. Allegra was psyched. And your daughter came along for the ride.
Oh, yeah.
And what's her name?
It is Sadie. Yep.
Sadie. Mm-hmm. And we found out that Sadie's birthday, we went up there on Friday, I think it was the 8th, Friday the 8th of February. Sadie had a birthday coming up on Monday, the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to be 3, folks. Well, it so happened that Allegra had a birthday coming up Monday, the 10th of February,
yep.
And she was turning 30. That just, Allegra was so excited to hear that. She
was great with Sadie, too. That was awesome. She's so good with children. She really is.
Mm-hmm. Right now, she's with children, some of them who are graduating out of preschool.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a friend of hers, a coworker, who said Allegra is already crying because she's having to say
goodbye to
these little ones. But she loved Sadie. So we got onto the gator.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, because I didn't know, you were like, is it okay, we're going to just take the gator around? And I said, sure. Had no idea what you were doing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. So what's a gator?
A gator is made by John Deere. It's any kind of, there's a bunch of them out there now, but it's pretty much a 2-seat or 4-seat, vehicle you use on farms and ranches and stuff like that. And a lot of people use them on trails now to kind of ride and have fun. We just call it the gator, and that's what we cruise around the trails on. We feed the cows with. We will haul some hay to and from places with it, just a few bales and different things like that. And then a lot of times in the evening, we just go for a nice ride on the trails with my wife Shiloh and Sadie, and, you know, when you guys came up as well. So just kind of because we have trails cut through all throughout the farm.
It's so cool. So the cows that we passed, which Sadie pointed out, and I captured that on a video.
Oh, really?
She was
nice.
Showing it. Yeah, I'll share that with you. But I got to eat some of the beef that you grow from the cattle there. Not a large number. So you're able to take well care of them.
Mm-hmm.
We passed a field. I'm excited about that. How's that coming along? Have you done any other work on that field?
We haven't since you were up. We've got to try to get that going on it. The goal is to put in a full-size baseball field behind the batting cage, and we had started on it pretty heavy, and then we backed off of it a little bit. But, yeah, we've got to get the ball rolling on that again. Then we could go out and actually practice on the field. The building is – we're fortunate. It's got three batting cages in it and a weight room. But on a pretty day, you feel kind of confined if you could be outdoors. It's great for the winter and when there's bad weather. But, yeah, we're still – it's a work in progress.
Awesome. So I have to tell you that I've got a friend who's tuning in from Rhode Island.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said, this is Linda, fascinating topic in person today.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Linda, for letting us know. Mm-hmm. And she also let me know that my volume is just a tad softer than yours.
So okay.
I'm hoping this makes a difference.
Okay.
And it's better.
Good.
I love you all for letting us know. Yeah. So... the cage, mm-hmm. the field is incredible. It's just incredible. And it's not like you have this farm was had overnight. Your dad worked really hard, bought bits and pieces together, and now the family is investing in it.
100%.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Linda also said, I love cars, so the idea of a Model T running makes me so happy. And
I'll send you a video afterwards,
will you?
Camille, when we actually got it running for the first time. It was over in Metamont. Like, it's just cars cruising around, and there goes the Model T zooming through the parking lot. Oh, I'll send it to you afterwards, so you can share it.
Please. I have a friend who's connected, Linda, through Wellesley, who is of the Ford family.
Okay.
And I shared with him that we've got a Model T, 1914. And I have to say that I love the connections that I'm able to make, those of you who let me in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a huge connection, a huge circle with my Wellesley alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And so Linda is, she's younger than I am, but she went to Wellesley College in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else who connected me with the person at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So it lights me up to see the connections there. And you mentioned earlier Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you, but we used to live in Swickley, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Outside of Pittsburgh.
I don't remember you mentioning that.
I knew you went to Lewisburg. I didn't know that you had gone to University of Pittsburgh afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a private school, Swickley Academy, where my former husband worked, their dad, Allegra and her siblings. And Allegra did kindergarten through, Allegra did pre-K there with her brother.
Yeah.
And their older sister was there at the school. But, that's a beautiful area.
It is. Yes. It really is. And, growing up on the farm in the country, that was my first. I had been to cities, but I'd never lived in a city before. And I ended up, and it was a great experience, and I was so glad that I did. Out of Lewisburg, I had some other options for college, but that's where I wound up going. I felt like it was the best fit, and it all worked out. But it was definitely, I went down a one-way street, and people are yelling and screaming at me. There's trucks unloading kegs of beer and stuff at the delicatessen, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm trying my best, and people are literally hanging out of their car, but it was fine, and you just get the flow of the city, and everyone was really great overall. It was just a different pace for me. I'm used to just kind of the country pace of things as opposed
slow
to a city. Yeah. Which I know Pittsburgh is not necessarily New York, but it's still a substantial city. Yeah.
It's faster.
Yeah.
And I lived in the suburbs where it was slower.
Mm-hmm.
Much like around here, very small town.
Mm-hmm.
The town that I lived in was Edgeworth, and I'm going to say there were only 600 something households in that town.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to go into Pittsburgh. So fascinating connection
that
we've got.
Oh, yeah.
Another one. And while we were out, so Allegra and I got onto the farm at around 4 o'clock. You and Sadie took us for a ride on the Gator, and Shiloh was at home cooking. And started cooking. We got back, and the sun had already started to set. Wait, first of all, before we got back, we dropped Sadie off at your parents. We got to meet your parents.
Yeah.
And they told us at one time they had 20 horses.
Yes. It got a little out of hand. Yeah, we have Paso Fino horses. And Dad just kind of fell in love with it, and we showed horses for a brief period in the 90s and early 2000s, yeah, and we still have a handful. I think it's 7 or 8 total now. My brother is more so, like, I enjoy it, but my brother and especially his wife, they are definitely horse people. Like, they still ride quite a bit and love it and enjoy it, and Sadie has ridden a little bit too, which we're walking behind her, holding her, and she loves it as well. But, yeah, it got to where it was quite a few. That's a lot to take care of.
Now, does Sadie ride the one that I saw, Quigley?
No, he was riding one that we call Rusty. But yeah, Quigley is broken and is definitely one that you could ride, but that's not the one she rode. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So we got to meet Jeff's parents, then we went and we said goodbye to Sadie.
Mm-hmm.
We thought for the night.
Mm-hmm.
The adults went back to the, and I say adults loosely because I don't always, I hold on to my youthful delight, and my daughter, who was about to be 30, definitely holds on.
She absolutely.
All the time because people think she's a teenager.
Absolutely, in a great way. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah, just the youthfulness, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But we got back, and Shiloh was saying, okay, the meat's ready to go on the grill when you're ready to do it, or she may have just put it on.
Mm-hmm.
So the grill, and then we get inside, and the kitchen just smells amazing. The house smelled amazing.
Thank you. That was all Shiloh.
So then we went inside, and people say that I should share more of what we had to eat, and for sure I should, and I should have pulled it up, but I remember we had steak.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there might have been a New York strip in there.
Yeah, we had a couple different cuts for whatever you preferred, and some chicken for Allegra. She tried the steak, but she said she was more of a chicken person.
Right. When Allegra is vegan-ish,
mm-hmm.
so she most days does not eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that she will is she'll have some chicken, but she had to try the steak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I have a picture of her plate, like 3 pictures. I did not take a picture of mine.
Really?
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to eating. So
mm-hmm.
I'm looking here, and that's what it was. So Shiloh made twice baked potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
All those were incredible. Green beans. And then she had some mushrooms and onions. And as I said, Allegra had the chicken, I had the steak. Oh, and the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
There were some rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm gluten light. I should be gluten free, but I won't turn down gluten.
Yeah.
And I had some of those dinner rolls. And Charlotte kept saying, is everything okay? Is it all right? The thing is, Allegra and I were eating. And we said, I listened to the recording, and I said, we're not polite when it comes to food. If we don't like something, we'll eat it, but we'll say, maybe not my favorite. Oh, there was none of that.
Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah. She was a little bit nervous. I think, we entertain family and whatnot quite a bit, but for whatever reason, I think she was just a little bit nervous and wanted everything to go smoothly.
Sure.
But, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
she's a very good cook.
Yeah, you have non-family over to visit. And she had only met me once, I think.
I think so.
When you had been nominated for the, you had been nominated for an award twice. 2 submissions have been made for you.
Mm.
And that was, I can't think of the gentleman.
The Cal Horton Award.
The Cal Horton Award.
Mm. Yeah.
You came, or she came for the presentation.
Mm.
You didn't win, but I thought, how incredible that 2 nominations came in for you that year because they recognize your peers, your colleagues recognize what a contribution, what contributions, because it's not singular. People are not singular in what they offer to the world. It's awesome to see. But anyway, she'd only met me once. It was kind of in a formal setting, so I get it. She didn't know me, but golly, she cooked for me. She cooked for us. It was so good. But this is what I remember hearing, and it just cracks me up, because I listened to our visit, you know, and she said, I think a lady asked about the green beans. They were really good. Everything was good. And she said, oh, I put garlic in there. If I don't have fresh garlic, I'll put garlic powder. And then she said, you know, I love garlic so much, if I could put it in a dessert, I would.
She does like it. I don't know how well that would work out, but she definitely, that's one of her go-tos for sure.
Yeah. But she also said, no, you said that your mother doesn't like garlic. But you all put garlic in.
Yeah, sometimes Shiloh will, just out of habit. And she's kind of like, well, I won't say anything, and hopefully she won't notice. And most of the time, unless she's just being polite, Mom doesn't say anything. Yeah.
Right. And I had said at the time, I was like, I won't mention that on the air. And she's like, no, you can.
Yeah.
You said, I think I told Mom that there's garlic in there.
Yeah.
That's funny. But that meal was delicious. I was stuffed. And then she brought out, what type of cobbler did we have? I don't know if it were a cobbler, but there was a bait.
Yeah, it's one of her, I don't even know what you would call it, but she mixes a some kind of a cake batter and then mixes it. It varies, but I believe that night she did blueberry, think. But she'll mix up and do different fruits, whether it be cherry, you know, whatever. She'll fill in the blank strawberry, and then she adds some other ingredients, and I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost...
It was ooey-gooey goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
And she served it with ice cream.
Yeah.
And once again, I was all about consuming the gluten and the dairy and the berries. It was delicious.
Yeah.
We had a good time. And then I think you left and came back.
Yeah, I was getting close to Sadie's bedtime, and we were just having such a good conversation. I popped down there and got Sadie and brought her back, and then Allegra was playing with her, and they just kind of kept talking throughout the evening. It was great.
Yeah. We'll talk about when we left in a minute, but thinking about Sadie, and you had told me what a gift she was.
Oh, yes.
And I could see it, right? I could see it, but it hasn't been easy. The two of you have always wanted children. And you shared that night over the meal before you brought Sadie back that you're down another pathway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So shortly after me and Shiloh got married, we were very fortunate and blessed. My wife got pregnant and had Sadie. Everything's been fantastic. And Camille had asked me beforehand, and I'm fine talking about it because hopefully it can maybe reach some other people that are kind of going through this as well. But throughout the course of these last 3 years, we had joked that we were going to try to have, you know, children pretty close, because we're both, I'm over 40 now, but we were both in our late 30s. We were in our mid-30s when we got married, and then pushing our later 30s as we were having children, just the way life kind of worked, where I was off playing ball and then moved back, you know, et cetera. But my wife has had 4 miscarriages over that time period at varying lengths of the pregnancy, and it's just, I mean, it's to say the least, it's taken a toll on the whole family, and especially Shiloh. And we started exploring in vitro just to try to have a better outcome. We wanted to have another child, but we didn't want to try to fit a square peg into a round hole type of a thing. But we're like, well, let's give it a shot and see at least. And we have, and we're in the middle of that right now. And you know, we're still, fingers crossed, but she's about 11 weeks along with a little boy. But it's been definitely a up and down path, a lot of peaks and valleys for sure, a lot of emotions there. But we feel very fortunate, and hopefully it'll continue to develop, and we'll have another healthy baby, but it definitely has changed us. Everyone always told us, you know, having a child changes your life. It's nothing like it. You know, it's definitely true. All the cliche things you hear about it is 100% true.
Yeah. There's a lot that I want to touch on, but I have to say that last comment you made me think about when we were headed to the batting cage, and Sadie and Allegra had run ahead. He said, Camille, I don't know if I'm biased or anything, but I think she's pretty good. The girl is not yet three. She's three now.
Yeah.
At that time, she was just knocking on three.
Yeah.
You saw the talent.
Well, I mean,
but you're not going to push her.
I'm not, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to definitely try not to. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I think it's always well-intentioned, but I've had parents of kids that I've coached where they're very hands-off. They're just kind of to the side. It used to be reading a book. Now it's looking at their phone when I'm coaching their kids. Some people that are kind of right down the middle, they're involved, but they're not too kind of pushy, I guess you would say. And then some people that are like, it's like they're in boot camp kind of. And occasionally that will work, but oftentimes it seems like the people that are more in the middle is kind of a pretty good balance, seem to have a better result. But having said that, I do not want to be the parent that's out there going too far. If she likes it, she really loves riding horses. If she gravitates more towards that, I'll definitely support that. But I'm absolutely going to provide opportunities for her to like softball and baseball. You know, I've got two nephews that are 11 and 7, and they're constantly in the yard playing wiffle ball and playing. So we're definitely going to create an environment that she can start to like it, but if as it goes on, it's just really not for her. I'm not gonna try to force it, you know.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So that is a nice way to bring you back to the other topic that we were talking about. And you said you and Shiloh don't want to force a square peg into a round hole, but you're providing yourselves with the opportunities in vitro fertilization, and it's not easy, folks. You know, for some people, it may seem like it's a breeze. I was fortunate to have three pregnancies, two that went really well, and provided three children, and three healthy children, and one that did not. And it is hard. It's hard on everyone. And I'm just going to go here because you've given me the green light. Jeff was supposed to be with me a few weeks ago, and there was a scare. He even offered, I love you, not just for this, but Jeff offered, because he made a commitment to me in the show, he offered to do something remotely via his phone so as not to let me down with the show. And that made no sense. but it speaks volumes about your commitment to commitment. If you say yes to something, it's because you thought about it, it's because you're taking responsibility for it. And I get that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad that you were in a position where you could go be with Shiloh that day. And tell us a little bit. I think this is also something that could be helpful for someone who doesn't have the ability to share or is looking at this and doesn't know that this is what they go through. Walk us just a little bit through that 24 hours, because you and I had texted the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
We had shared the news. And then you wrote to me.
Yeah, everything was going along great. I was actually working the night before, and we do 24-hour shifts from 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. the next day. I was scheduled to come on the show with Camille, and that's when I had shared with her. We didn't want to share too early, but that's when I, you know, made you aware that, you know, she was pregnant, we were expecting, and that we were going through IVF. And then later on, Shiloh called upset, and she was, you know, she was actually having some bleeding, and more substantial, and that's actually some clotting and whatnot. And I said, holy cow. So I ended up and called our battalion chief, told him the situation, and we lined it up for someone. He said, you know, go right now if you need to, and we worked it out and got coverage, someone to take my spot, and I went home, and then reached out to you and let you know what was going on. But because we had, because of that, she got an appointment first thing Friday to go in and be checked, and that was going to, you know, run over the time for the show. But thankfully we got there, and it was a it's more common in women, but basically it's a tear that women get that's not in the womb but just outside of it, and it can lead to some of this bleeding, which can really, you know, throw a lot of false triggers for you having a miscarriage. But they said it's more common in, you know, women that are going through in vitro, and they're just monitoring it. Everything was good, and I've been in a lot of situations throughout my life where I was nervous, and Shiloh afterwards, she said she could really see it on my face, but I was trying to be, you know, very supportive and calm, like, we don't know what's going on, let's just see, you know, the ultrasound is going to tell the tale. And I guess the doctors had to play it down the middle to a certain extent, because you know, she had taken pictures and shown the doctor before we did the ultrasound, and they didn't give a lot of emotion either way. But I guess you kind of have to be that way. If you are too optimistic, it can be devastating if it's not good news. And then if you get negative about it, you know, you're going to scare someone. So they were great. They kept it. They were comforting, but like, okay, let's go see what we got. And all of a sudden you heard the heartbeat just going crazy. You know, the heartbeat is so high at this stage, is like in the 130s, 140s, and it's in the 170s now. The last appointment, we've had another appointment since even then. I didn't break down, but I was definitely like fighting back tears and emotions and everything. And Shiloh looked over at me, and she told me afterwards, she said, I didn't know it was kind of weighing on you that much until she looked over and saw me. But it was very emotional, intense, but thankfully everything's good and continues to look good up to this point. You know, we're not out of the woods yet by any means. It's right. Still very early, but that was definitely a scare. And it's a shame, because there's so much information out there now that I almost feel like it's a hindrance, in the sense that if you look up anything, you've got such a wide range. It's the best case scenarios, the worst case scenarios. You know, you go to WebMD for a hangnail, you're going to die. You know, it's so dramatic. But just us personally, having been through it, you know, if you are going through this process, that is something that is common in IVF pregnancies. So if you're experiencing that, just try to get to your doctor quickly and try not to push the panic button too early, because that stress is not going to be good for the baby in general. Just get to your doctor and see what they say, because this apparently is very common. And they said everything looks good, and we're still keeping our fingers crossed.
Oh, yep. We're keeping our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
When you shared, I asked if I could share with Allegra, and she knew, and then as soon as you alerted me, and I'm honored, thank you for that gift of knowing that things were looking good, I shared it with Allegra, and she was relieved. We went to bed that night, the night before, on that Thursday night, you know, we texted with each other, and we had both said that we're gonna hold you in the light and love. That is something that we have adopted since our relationship began with Carolina Friends School. I like for people to hear some of where things are coming from for me. Our family joined Carolina Friends School 20 years ago, this July, when their dad and my former husband accepted a job there, and he knew it would be good for us. But the light, there is light in all of us, and but light is wonderful, and if we can share it with each other, how much better. And we have love to give. And so that's what we were offering you, we continue to offer you. But
thank you.
That night, there was intentionality around it, and there's so much relief.
Yeah.
I mean, not like yours.
Yeah.
But we were relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, folks, I just want to revisit something that Jeff said. It is that tear that produces some bleeding can be very common with IVF patients, with the moms. Don't push that panic button too soon. And I imagine, Jeff, that your training as a first responder, as a firefighter, probably kicked in there somewhere where you were trying to maintain, even though there was some panic inside, you still try to maintain. Yeah, which is probably why Shiloh didn't know.
Yeah, I would say 100%, because there's a retired firefighter. He retired as a battalion chief named Jerry Blaylock, and he was a legend. I mean, he's still alive, but if it could be the craziest call you can imagine, but when he keyed up that radio, it was just smooth. It was like Barry White was on the radio, and he wasn't worked up. He got across what he needed to, and that really, if you're the first truck on scene, that sets the tone. If you show up and you're really excited and you're spun up, and it seems like things get escalated and mistakes get made, you're always moving with a sense of urgency. But when someone is more calm and deliberate and can get that information out, it really makes things go smoother. On an EMS call, when you're dealing with the family and stuff, someone's having a significant medical emergency, you know, you got people working on the patient, and then you've also got the family to try to comfort and handle the situation as professionally as possible. So there's definitely a balance to that, and I've been in the fire service over 12 years now, so that 100% came into play, you know, because in the back of my mind, I'm like, we didn't know that information, that this is more common. And then, like we said, you know, you look anything up on the internet, the earth is falling down.
Did you look it up?
Shiloh, I personally didn't, because in the past I have, and just so many things. Like I said, I don't do it very much anymore. Shiloh did a little bit, and then she just put her phone down. And, you know, she reached out to the doctor's office first thing. We're able to get in quickly, so thankful they could get her in soon, because that was definitely a huge stressor. Right. So, but as to the point of just trying to stay calm, 100%, that relates to the job for sure.
Okay. Well, that meal was what I had hoped for, that meal that
Good.
We had with you that Saturday. Because what we were able to do, folks, Jeff, what you, I, Shiloh, and Allegra were able to do over the meal, and then when Sadie came back, was to be present with each other, to share some, I didn't know how intimate we would be, but I knew, I had hoped that it would be, that we would share some things that would make us feel a little bit vulnerable, but there was that trust. And it is amazing. Right now, so many people are lonely. I was talking about that. Well, folks were talking about that in my Rotary Club just on Tuesday. We meet every Tuesday. The Chapel Hill Carborough Sunrise Rotary Club.
Nice.
I love that. Every Tuesday morning we gather. But someone mentioned that he's in his, I don't know how old he is, late 30s, early 40s, I think. And if I got your age wrong, don't kill me, Ian. But he went to something that gathered over several weeks with other younger people. And he said they all, and they were many couples, but he said they all signed up for this activity because they had been lonely. They wanted to do, I don't know if they used the word lonely, but he did. He said, you know, there are some people who are feeling lonely and want to connect with others. And it's a huge gift to be able to connect over someone's table, over the food that they've prepared, and then to enjoy that with them. So thank you for that gift. And I have been negligent in saying who my underwriter is for Camille Gets Fed. It is Porch Communities. And Porch Communities is about feeding your community, one porch at a time. So there are food pantries in almost every community, and oftentimes those food pantries struggle to get food onto their shelves so that when community members in need come to ask for some, they have enough to give. And that is what Porch Communities can offer. And I invite you all who are listening, if you haven't already, to go to Porch, P-O-R-C-H, Communities, C-O-M-M-U-N-I-T-I-E-S.org. I think that's the website. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, go to Porch Communities, Google it, and see what's going on across the country. We're currently in 14 states, 63, maybe 64 now, but definitely over 60 communities. We have a porch operation going on, and that means that people can put food on their porch on a designated day. Somebody from their neighborhood will come by, pick it up, and take it to the pantry. What does that mean for the person who's putting it on their porch? That means you can add it to your shopping trip and add those items to your shopping list, and you can feed your neighbors. It's a wonderful experience. You can be connected that way. You can be connected even more. I feel like I am jumping around here, but it's about connection for me, this experiment that I'm doing with this mm-hmm. radio show. Mm-hmm. I am getting fed. I'm definitely getting fed with food, some really good food, folks. But I'm also getting fed with the gift of being with others and hearing how we're connected, how we're different. Mm-hmm. And it's all enriching, so mm-hmm. I love it. I'm grateful that you all had us over. And here's the time that we left. This was so embarrassing. We looked and we were like, oh, I also have to point this out. February 8th was when Carolina had the rematch with Duke Duke.
Yep.
And
turn the game on.
Yes. The game was on while we were eating our meal. And Allegra did warn everyone that she may have an outburst. Conversation. Jeff, you said at one point, so if we're in a deep conversation, all of a sudden we're going to hear a cheer. She said, probably.
And I totally get it, coming from the sports world for sure.
Yes. You and Allegra have been on the basketball court together.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been great too. As we discussed, we got to try to get it going again. I know she's so busy and whatnot, but hopefully that can get back on the schedule. And if any of the personnel from the fire department are listening, we play basketball, but we started to get a handful of injuries, ankles and pulled muscles and stuff like that. So it slowed down for a while, but we're kind of gradually getting back into it. Our chief is supportive. He said, just try not to act like it's the NBA championships and, hurt yourself going for an errant ball or something. Because it is a fitness level that you get from the cardio and everything like that.
Right.
But, yeah, Allegra, she is a very good basketball player. She can really shoot. And it's so funny because I know a little bit, but – you can tell she's well versed in it. She knows the different defenses and plays and all that stuff. So she's very good.
Yeah, Allegra is a coach, and I just about died laughing when you said Allegra tells us stuff to do. I have no idea what she.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like got it, and then we just kind of go do kind of whatever. To be honest,
I have to share with you. She has just agreed to move from being an assistant coach for the boys' varsity basketball team to being their head coach this coming season.
That's great. I'm sure she'll do a really good job. She's very good. Very good. And you had mentioned she had considered being a firefighter. I mean, I sincerely think, because I've been around her quite a bit, and I know she's done some different things with her ride-alongs and whatnot. I think she absolutely could do it, but it seems like her love for her job and everything, it wouldn't really allow her to, I guess, with the schedule and whatnot, but I definitely think that she could do it.
I'll tell her. I don't think she's listening this morning, but I'll tell her. She has a lot of respect. I know this community has a lot of respect for the work that you all do.
Mm-hmm.
she has a lot of respect for the challenge.
Absolutely.
We all meet, being physically fit, right? That's part of it. And then understanding how to comfort. My sister, I'm going to share this, but it made me think of what this. My sister Yvette, it tunes in. Thank you, Yvette. And she said, prayers being said for comfort, support, and positivity to your friend and his wife.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
But you all do, as firefighters, you're physically fit. And that's one thing, and you're knowledgeable about the job of the mechanics putting out a fire. But the other thing that you have to do is be able to be there for the people, the human element, right? And you were talking earlier about being professional, but there's also being the humanity that you have to, and keeping those where one isn't too much over the other. And that's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And I think about that often when I see someone and I think about the type of service that they're providing. As a council member, I am nowhere close to the front line of the services that are provided by the town. I'm extremely grateful for all the staff that deliver on the aspirations that we put forth. You know, we say we want these goals and we want these objectives met. And then the staff makes it happen, makes it a reality. So I just have to say I'm grateful for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see, what else is going on? Our time is winding down. I don't know if you know.
It's gone fast.
Right?
Yeah. Something with that, I don't normally get too crazy into calls and stuff like that unless people ask specifically, but there's just a broad range of, like you said, you know, you're dealing with the incident, and then it's also the patient if it's EMS, and sometimes the fire call, there's EMS patients involved. But we had one a while back, and maybe this will resonate and reach some people, because I know myself with Sadie, I fell asleep with her in my arms before and just woke up and was like, I was so lucky. But we had a call probably almost a year ago now. I was filling in for the battalion chief that day. And by the time I got to the call, two trucks were already there, and they were, everything that needed to be done was being done. And what had happened, the mother was a nurse working night shift. The dad had fallen asleep on the couch with a young baby, and he fell asleep and rolled over and it smothered the baby. And the guys were working on the baby, and they did get pulses back and transported, and it kind of ripped everyone's heart out. But a few days later, the baby did pass, but the mom was hysterical, and everything that needed to be done was being done at the time. And I just went over and I just gave the mother a hug, and that's, I really think that's all that could have been done at the time. She was upset at the dad. Her baby is in the middle of the living room being worked on. And you know, that I felt like that's the only thing that could be done, and she did calm down, and we were squeezing each other so tight. And I think even having my own child now, it made it that much more, you know. But we had a hot wash after, where, you know, all the agencies involved, the telecommunicators, us, EMS, police, everyone that was there, get together and talk. And a lot of people kind of mentioned that, you know, the call itself was brutal. But when they looked up and saw me and her, that really hit them. And I think it's the connection you're talking about. And there's just a lot of nuances to the job that I didn't realize until I got into it. But, you know, I think overall, you know, our department does a very good job of trying to fill all these roles. It's not just, okay, we're going to go in and put the fire out, and that's kind of it. There's a lot of different circumstances that you encounter from day to day. It's always different, it seems like. So,
folks, I am so grateful that mother had this this particular person, but the entire team, the two teams that were there already working, and then made it possible for Jeff to offer that hug. I don't think we realize how much, for those who are open to that connection, how much a hug means. Mm-hmm. And I'm a hugger, and I do try to respect people's space, and I try not to do that without the consent of the other person. But let me tell you, a hug, that physical contact, that I'm going to share my space mm-hmm. with your space, that tight. I really want more of that. And I don't mean just for myself, I mean for everybody to have that. And sometimes that hug comes in the form of a smile. Mm-hmm. I truly believe yeah. that. And for the people who've crossed paths with me who don't know me, thank you for that smile. The other day I was pumping gas. I have to share this with you. I was pumping gas, and I was talking to myself, and then I realized there was somebody on the other side.
Yeah.
And I was embarrassed, and I talk to myself all the time.
Hello, you're listening to WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 FM, and online at WCOMFM.